Welcome to Radioactive Magazine. We will be speaking with Derek Duba, Boisius Montalvo, and Bryson Ripley about our veterans organization called Common Defense, which claims to be the nation's largest grassroots organization for U.S. military veterans and the only one that invests in the leadership of its members through training and deployment in campaigns that connect clearly to their history of service, including voting rights, climate justice, and anti-militarism. Common Defense includes a nonpartisan training program for veterans called the Veterans Organizing Institute, or VOI, that supports leadership development for progressive military veterans. Derek Duba is the Western Regional Organizer for Common Defense. Moises Montalvo and Bryson Ripley are facilitators with the Veterans Organizing Institute. Derek served 8 years in the U.S. Army between 2010 and 2018 as a military linguist in German and Arabic. Moises served as an Arabic linguist while in the U.S. Army. Bryson spent 5 years in the U.S. Marine Corps, 2014 to 2019, as a corrections specialist. So Derek, Moises, Bryson, please correct any errors in that excessively brief intro and add anything else you'd like.
Certainly. Well, I'll kick it off. I think that that is an absolutely fantastic start, Spencer. And I think I speak for my good friends and colleagues here that we're happy to expand on anything that sparks curiosity there. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Common Defense is the largest grassroots veterans membership organization. We are rapidly growing, have been for the last 5 years. We are a relatively young organization in terms of political activist and movement organizations. And we've been characterized by about doubling in size every single year. That is because our message resonates with an increasingly large, growing, and ever more cohesive group of veterans.
Moises, Bryson, any additions?
I think you hit it spot on exactly what we're all about.
What attracted you three to Common Defense?
Coming out of the Marine Corps, I just had this huge perspective shift. I was finding resources on exactly how the world works, and to my surprise, it's not exactly what I was taught growing up. So after spending a pretty significant amount of time, trying to educate myself and find out as much as possible about everything that's been going on lately, I happened upon Common Defense. And I had been looking for veteran organizations for quite a while, but it was really hard for me to find a group that one, aligned with all of my values, and two, was working on the things that I thought was most important, one of them being climate change. I think we all know kind of where we're at on that. But after that, I signed up and I started attending some Zoom calls and, getting to know everyone, which was amazing. And eventually, someone was like, hey, you should check out Veterans Organizing Institute. It's going to be able to provide you with some training, and you'll be able to go back to your community and do all those things you want to do, affect change. And I got accepted, and I flew out to Buffalo, New York, for the very first VOI climate cohort, which was just absolutely amazing. And from there, it's just been going. Every day we got stuff going on, so it's been pretty great.
Okay, Moshe?
Yeah, for me, it's a very similar experience. I got out of the service. I've been dealing with a few health issues connected to my service. I have PTSD. I also have skin cancer and sarcoidosis, which is an immune disorder, which was caused by my exposure to burn pits and toxins. So I had all these issues going on, and I found myself in a really dark place. I was depressed, dealing with anxiety, dealing with just a lack of desire to do anything. My wife is very engaged in politics. She is actually one of the tri-chairs for the Nebraska Poor People's Campaign. And so she, through another, or, you know, another event through the Poor People's Campaign, actually ran into a member of Common Defense, Jessica Motzinger, who's a friend of ours, who's based out of St. Louis. And she talked her up and down about how I, she needed to go to VOI. And yeah, so I signed up, and I attended the same VOI as Bryson. We went to Buffalo, New York. We were the first, you know, climate change focus class, and it changed my life, man. I went from that dark, depressed, you know, angry veteran who felt like I wasn't being heard and felt like my voice didn't matter, to now, you know, I just got done with a 3-week bus tour with Courage for America, going across the country, you know, defending Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, veterans benefits. I was a spokesperson and the MC for that. These are things I would have never been, being exposed to or had the opportunity to do, but I feel like I would not have been able to do, you know, a little more than a year ago is when we went through, you know, Buffalo VOI. You can, these guys were, Derek was also there. I looked way different. My skin cancer, I had just shaved my head, and, you know, it's, I feel like a new person.
Wonderful. Derek.
First, I just gotta say just how beautiful it is to hear Moises' reflections and kind of his journey from the service, you know, through some of the, frankly, very common struggles that a lot of service members experience coming out of the military and having a very strong, cohesive support system to suddenly being kind of on your own. And it is so heartening to hear how building collective power and getting the support of a system like Common Defense, really getting that feeling of being back in a unit that is focused on a mission that has friends, colleagues, allies ready, not just to put you to use, but to elevate you and give you opportunities to really grow into the activist, advocate, spokesperson that you want to be. That is, it really motivates me to hear that. So just want to thank Moises for sharing his testimony there. Now, as for my own story, many parallels between the three of us. I initially enlisted in the United States Army right out of high school because of largely economic factors. I come from a working class family that had dealt with medical debt, the housing crisis. I was graduating from high school in the 2009-10 housing bubble. My family was badly affected by that. So even as a relatively bright kid, I'd like to think, there was no way that I was going to be able to pay for college. I was either going to have to take on student loan debt or figure something out if I wanted to be able to get out of a relatively economically depressed area and kind of live that little American dream as it's been sold. So I enlisted in the Army, ended up doing two full enlistments, you know, ended up working all over the country in the United States, ended up working overseas, both in Africa and in Eastern Europe. And in the course of doing that work, I was badly injured. I suffered a traumatic brain injury that was life-changing and ultimately meant that I wasn't going to be able to continue on operating tactically as I had. And in the course of that, you know, I saw a lot of my friends, frankly, get chewed up. I saw them get hurt. I saw them get burnt. I saw them get blown up. I saw the ravages of that lifestyle push many of them into feeling that suicide or self-harm or self-medication, frankly, were the answers to deal with that. So having to make that transition myself out of the service after getting hurt, I had questions. I wanted to make sense out of it. So I did the only thing I knew to. I went and got that education that I sweat and bled for. So I studied political science, try and understand the systems and institutions that essentially send me and my friends and Bryson and Moises all over the world to do all the things that we did and all the places that we went. And that ended up leading to opportunities to work in government. So I worked for the Arizona State Senate Appropriations Committee, which was lucky in many ways because it gave me a lot of exposure to see how the proverbial sausage is made, which had some disillusioning properties to it for me, certainly. And then from there, somehow I was not completely disgusted by the practice of politics and law. So I went to grad school using my remaining GI Bill, which is one of those awesome federal benefits that Moises was just on the road fighting to preserve. And I got a graduate degree in legal studies to continue to learn more about advocacy and how to really affect policy change. So I ended up working as district staff for Congressman Tom O'Halloran, and I interfaced with veterans organizations all the time. All the traditional ones, you know, Disabled American Veterans, VFW, American Legion. I worked very closely with lots and lots of different veterans organizations. So I had a pretty broad frame of reference when I first came into contact with Common Defense, and several things stood out to me immediately that really, really impressed me. So I, as a good staffer does, I did a little bit of research beforehand. I went to commondefense.us, which I would encourage any of your listeners to go ahead and do as well. And I looked at what they're about. I looked at their values. I looked at their mission. And frankly, I looked at their membership. And something that stood out to me is the photographs of their membership looked just like the units that I had just left. It didn't look like the American Legion. It didn't look like the VFW, which, you know, for better or worse, are predominantly Vietnam era, older, whiter, more male than the actual military is. And if you're just a member of society who has never served in the military or had very close interactions with the military or veterans, you could be forgiven for making the mistake of thinking that a veteran is an old white guy. And that's just not the case. When you're out there in the trenches, it is actually disproportionately people of color. It is disproportionately people of working class backgrounds. It is disproportionately people who are coming from impoverished backgrounds. Joining the military or being conscripted into the military has been one of the few long-standing ways for people to lift themselves out of poverty and to try to move up the socioeconomic ladder in this country. As that becomes increasingly difficult because of disparate concentrations in wealth and opportunity. So not to follow that rabbit too far, the point that I was trying to make is I was impressed that Common Defense not only was representative of the veteran experience and the veteran's origin from my personal experience, but the mission that they focused on was not a self-serving one. When I looked at other veterans organizations, even the ones that were engaged in political activism or policy advocacy, it was overwhelmingly to just protect veterans' benefits or just expand veterans' benefits or just fight for better pay for the military. I didn't serve in the United States military just to protect veterans, just to make it a better country for people who also serve in that capacity, because there are a million different ways to serve. If you're a public school teacher, you're serving your country. I would argue you're serving your country in ways that are more productive than most veterans. That's not necessarily going to be a popular opinion in some veteran circles, but that's the way that I see it. So Common Defense is out there fighting for, you know, things like better healthcare for everybody, climate justice for everybody, the air that we all have to breathe, the water that we all have to drink, the public lands that all of us get to enjoy while they're still enjoyable, but increasingly become privatized, increasingly become shrunk, increasingly become exploited by mining interests. So that's really what drew me to Common Defense is, to me, it puts the true history and the true circumstances of the American veteran. And it actually tries to put that identity to its highest possible use. So that's what does it for me.
Wonderful. What's an Arabic linguist?
both Derek and I graduated from a little place known as the Defense Language Institute Foreign Language Center in Monterey, California. And it is a phenomenal little institute that teaches service members how to speak and read and write in other languages. So yeah, it's an Arabic linguist in the military is somebody who's pretty fluent and speaks, reads, and writes in whatever language you're describing.
What would you say are the most important things the U.S. public should know about the Arabic world?
That it is no different than our world. The Arab world on its face has some what I would consider minor differences in religion, in dress, and in language. Besides that, they're everyday people. They're normal people just like you and I. They want what's best for their kids. They want their kids to grow up and be doctors and lawyers and scientists just like American parents do. And my experience was that culturally, I think we have a lot to learn from them. I think they're a lot more giving than we are. I think the average person in the Arab world or in the Middle Eastern world is more generous than the average American. And I feel like we can learn from them to be more giving and more accepting. And I think a lot of us need to make sure that we understand that we're not viewing the Middle Eastern world or the Arab world through the lens of militarism and through the lens of war, because that's a rich culture. That's a beautiful area of the world that if it wasn't for the fact that there has been conflict there for all these years now, every one of us would love to visit as a tourist. And you know, still to this day, I have hopes of someday being able to visit certain parts of the Middle East as a tourist someday with my kids.
Tell me more about what the Veterans Organizing Institute does.
I could take that one. So the Veterans Organizing Institute takes veterans that are what I would say are activists. They're people who care. They're people who pay attention and that have the desire to do something. And we take those folks who maybe don't even recognize those qualities in themselves sometimes, and we take them and turn them into organizers. And so what that entails is we give them the tools and the knowledge and the experience necessary to make the change that they want to see in their communities.
If you go on our website, commondefense.us, you can learn a lot more about the specific curriculum involved in the Veterans Organizing Institute. And the Veterans Organizing Institute is only one of our training opportunities that are available to all veterans of all services. You don't have to identify as a progressive veteran. Honestly, I think that maybe only half, if even half, of the attendees at a granted VOI cohort necessarily even consider themselves activists. I would go out on a limb and say, Bryson, you probably didn't really consider yourself much of an activist when you showed up. I was not an activist. I was professional political staff. You know, that's a completely different world than advocacy. So to me, I feel like the ideal candidate for the Veterans Organizing Institute or for many of our different training and engagement opportunities is not going to be somebody who is already, you know, going out to protests, making signs, engaging with their members of Congress or what have you. The people that we're trying to reach and the people that I hope that are listening to us today right now, I hope that there is somebody in this audience who has been following along with the news long enough to be completely fed up with the normal state of affairs. And maybe they've been spinning their wheels, arguing with their friends, arguing with their coworkers. Maybe they're on Facebook and Instagram and they feel like they can't make things better. And they feel like maybe the only way they can make things better is just by shouting into the void until things change. That doesn't change anything though. All that'll do is make you matter. And you know what? you can take that anger or that frustration or that sadness at, you know, the latest mass shooting, which we seem to have on a weekly basis now, instead of just getting stuck in that emotional state, instead of becoming an angrier person or a sadder person or a sicker person or a person more socially isolated, come join Common Defense. Come find community. Come find other people who are every bit as invested in continuing to expand things like healthcare, in improving things like environment, in improving real public safety for people who are out living in our communities, regardless of their race, religion, sexual orientation, background. If you really want to be part of that solution, it might be time for you to level up. And honestly, I cannot think of a better way for you to do that than by going to commondefense.us, checking out the Veterans Organizing Institute. Just last night, I had a conversation with an Army veteran. She was an Army sergeant, just like me, except she joined 50 years ago. So her experience was completely different than mine. Her coming into Common Defense was a completely different route than mine. She told me that she spent an entire career post-military. Her name's Lori, who's one of our cherished members. She spent an entire career post-military, worked in sales, stayed basically completely apolitical, you know, her entire adult life, retired, is collecting pension now. So now she's a little bit more focused on things like making sure Social Security and Medicare, Medicaid stay solvent, which we should all be invested in. But what really did it for her was the attack on the Capitol on January 6th. And she saw all of these people identifying as veterans, using their veteran identity to promote an extremist ideology of political violence. For me, when I see somebody wearing the same flag that I had on my shoulder for those 8 years, wearing the same uniforms that I bled in, that my friends died in, and saying that they get to use that identity to push election conspiracies, to push the normalization of political extremism, I'm not going to sit back and let that happen. And this 70-year-old woman felt the exact same way.
Yep.
So it's an environment where you have people of completely different backgrounds, completely different lived experiences that can still come together and unite around common purpose. And that's part of our namesake. It's Common Defense. Comes straight from the Constitution.
Provide for the
people
common defense.
In order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide the common defense. That means defense for everyone, not just veterans. Promote the general welfare for everyone. Secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity for everyone.
How many people are members of Common Defense?
So our largest umbrella of membership is over 350,000 at this point. And honestly, that is still a very small fraction of the veterans that we believe that we can and will reach as we continue to build up our base, as we continue to grow power at the local level, the state level, and the federal level. Something that's actually pretty exciting that we've been doing this last year and will be continuing to transition over the course of the next year is originally when the organization started out, it was nationally focused, but it was also only like three people, you know?
Yeah.
So from there, it's grown very, very rapidly. So this is the first year that we've moved or started to move from a national focus to a regional focus. So as a result, I'm responsible for organizing the Western region of the United States, been focused mostly on the Southwestern region, because that's kind of one of our both our centers of power membership wise, but also very strategically focused on the states where we feel like we can have the most impact, both electorally and in terms of political influence.
I've asked that partly because I read on your website that you were the Common Defense was the nation's largest grassroots organization of U.S. military veterans. But I also noted that the Wikipedia article on veterans of foreign wars said it's 1.2 million and the American Legion supposedly has 1.8 million. So
certainly
you have
and totally valid. I trust their numbers. However, I would focus in on the grassroots membership part of that in particular.
Right.
VFW and American Legion, although they are veterans organizations, they're very different orientation than we are. You know, your typical VFW.
Not grassroots organizers.
Right, yeah. They're not, I mean, they have political through lines sometimes, like they have their own legislative advocacy people, especially in DC. Mm-hmm. But by and large, they're more like local social clubs. And many of them are actually like virulently anti-political.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I would say the VFW is more of a social club where you go find camaraderie and maybe a good meal and a good conversation. Whereas Common Defense is, we're organizing. We're actually taking veterans where they live, wherever they're at in the country, and helping them take that next step so they can be engaged in their communities.
Okay, well, so we're about out of time. Any final words for our listeners?
Again, I would just highlight, you know, if either you yourself are a veteran, or there is a veteran in your life that you care about, and you feel like you are ready to move to the next step, to move from maybe being informed and frustrated to actually seeing what kind of impact you can have in your community, in your state, in your country, check out commondefense.us. It costs absolutely nothing to join us. You can reach out to me directly. My email is Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at commondefense.us.
Bryson?
First, I just like to thank you for having us. Being able to spread our message to all of those veterans out there that are frustrated and don't know what to do is very, very heartwarming to me. I really hope that people listening will take this as a call to action, that there are people out there that are fighting for the things that you believe in. And, you know, we can join hands and we can do it together.
We've been talking with Derek Duba, Moises Montalvo, and Bryson Ripley about a veterans organization called Common Defense. I'm Spencer Graves. Thanks for listening.